All right, Joel, say good morning. Let's begin. Maseches Erchin, Daf Beis Amud Aleph. So just by way of introduction, so we is actually very, in Yoni Dioma, as we just learned these halachas in Parshas Bichukosai, right, we literally just 2 weeks ago had Parshios of, had the section of Erchin. So, brief view on Erchin, although interestingly enough, that's not going to be our initial topic. So remember again, an Erech vow is where a person pledges to go ahead and donate their value or the value of someone else. As we're going to see, there are different types of valuation vows. The unique part about an Erech vow is that halacha lemaisa, an Erech vow is an objective valuation. So for example, a man between the ages of 20 and 60 is valued at 50 shekel. A man above the age of 60 is valued at 15 shekel. So again, women also, children also. So these are not value. We'll discuss other forms of valuation, which are based ultimately, again, on a person's worth, so to speak. But at the end of the day, that's the Erech vow. Let's say just one word, hashkafically. I mentioned this on Shabbos a couple of weeks ago, about the Erech vow, which is the Choza of Lublin says something so beautiful, that he knows the juxtaposition between the Tochacha, the series of curses, and Erchin, the laws of valuation. And Choza said so beautifully that it teaches us such an incredible lesson, that no matter how badly you mess up in life, even if you've gone through a Tochacha, no matter how badly you've messed up, at the end of the day, every person has a value. We sometimes think that when we make dramatic life mistakes, we divest ourselves of our value. Not true. Erchin comes immediately on the heels of the Tochacha. No matter what you've done or what you haven't done, at the end of the day, every person possesses their Erech. All right, we'll say with that, let's begin. Hakom, oh, thank you. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Hilly and Ellie Kagan in honor of the Magide Shir and Maishi Abramson, who makes it possible to learn the daf remotely. And our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Sivan, from David and Roberta Schwartz, in honor of all of the members of the shul for their warmth. We'll say with that, let's begin. Hakol ma'arichin v'ne'erachin, nodrin v'nidan. So we'll say everyone, again, so we're going to begin with just a couple of statements regarding different forms of halacha. So hakol ma'arichin v'ne'erachin. Everyone has the ability to make an erech vow. That's ma'arichin. Ne'erachin means become the subject of an erech vow. Nodrin v'nidar. In other words, we'll say, so again, on a simple level, I can make an erech vow. I can say, erki alai, I hereby pledge my value to the Beis HaMikdash. Or I can say, ultimately, I hereby pledge Ruvain's erech to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's ma'arichin. I could make an erech vow for myself. V'ne'erachin. And I could pledge someone else's value. Nodrin v'nidarin. Ultimately, again, I can go ahead and make a neder. So I can pledge Rabbos. They say it happens to be over here. The context, Rashi says, is Dmei Ploni Alai. I can go ahead and pledge the value of Ploni. Rabbos, remember I mentioned before, different forms of valuation vows. An Erech is an objective categorization, an objective value. A neder might be if I say, I pledge the value of Ruvain. What does he mean to pledge the value of Ruvain? Ruvain could be sold on a slave market. How much would Ruvain fetch on the slave market, right? Tom, what would his value be? And that's based on what? That's based on his age. That's based on his physical capabilities. That's based on his skill sets. So same thing. Nodrin, I can make a neder, valuing my own value. Or nidarin, I can become the subject of someone else's vow as well. So I will say, so who is included in this? Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, Nashim, Va'avadim. Anyone could go ahead and either make an erech or neder vow, or can be the subject of an erech or neder vow. Kohanim, Levim, women, avadim, everyone, Yisraelim, everyone. Tumtum v'androgynous. So we'll say, what about a tumtum and androgynous? Remember, we spent extensive time speaking about them in Bechorus. So tumtum, remember again that there is some type of membrane that covers over the male and female organs. So we don't know the gender. The gender is discernible, just not visible. The androgynous. Androgynous means, again, remember, so the person has both sets of male and female reproductive organs. So what's the halacha? Nodrin v'nidarin. These people can go ahead and make a neder. So also, which means is they could pledge someone else's value. V'nidarin. They could also be the subject of someone's vow. Ma'arichin. they can make an erech vow. We're going to see what that means in the Gemara. Avalon ne'erachin. But they cannot be the subject of an erech vow. Why? She'eno ne'erach ela hazachar vaday unikeva vados. Because let's remember again, erech vows are objective vows based on gender. So therefore, in order to be the subject of an erech vow, you have to what? Either be a man or a woman. So therefore, the tumtum and androgynous, whose status is either ambiguous or unknown, cannot go ahead and be the subject of an erech vow. Now remember again, does a tumtum and androgynous have value? Do they have value? Yeah, of course. Because remember again, value is not based on gender. Value is based on abilities, right? Value is based on strength. So tumtum and androgynous absolutely can. And ultimately, the tumtum and androgynous could also go ahead and make an erech vow regarding someone else's value. They just cannot be the subject of an erech vow because they are gender ambiguous. So because of that, they're not subject to erechin. Cheresh shot of a cotton. We'll say, what about a cheresh shot of a cotton? Remember again, just to define our terms. Cheresh, without qualification, means a deaf mute. Shota, someone who is deranged. Katan, a minor. Nidarin v'ne'erachin. So they have the ability to go ahead and, interestingly enough, become the subject of a neder or the subject of an erech, avalo nodrin velo ma'arichin. But they cannot make a neder and cannot make an erech vow. Why? Very simply, mipnei she'ein bahem das. I'm going to say there's no surprises here, because remember again, the common denominator between the cheresh shot of the katan is they lack capacity. So because they lack capacity, they have value. They have value both als nedarim and erechin, but at the end of the day, do not have the mental capacity to actively make a neder, and therefore, again, cannot do so. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. We'll say, what's going to be great over here is we're getting, it's very, very exciting. Very exciting, because what we're getting back to now is some basic, you're going to see like more classic Gemara. We've been focusing so much on so many of the halachos of Bechoros, of Kachim, Maaser Behema. So this is going to read just like a regular blot of Gemara, which is very nice. Hakol ma'arichin la'suyei mai. So remember again, the Mishnah begins by saying Hakol ma'arichin. Everybody makes an erech vow. Everybody makes an erech vow. So the Gemara, whenever we know from our journey throughout Shas, whenever you see Hakol, Hakol is coming to include something. So what does Hakol come to include? Hakol ma'arichin la'asuyei mai. What does Hakol ma'arichin come to include? So the Gemara says, la'asuyei mufla samoch le'ish. This is incredible. To include the case of a mufla, a katan who has almost reached the age of adulthood and is mufla. Mufla also means what? Articulate. This is from actually last week's parsha. Ish ki yafli lindar neder lazir l'Hashem. Right? Yafli is lashon of articulation. So this is incredible. Look here, Rashi. What's a mufla samach l'ish? Ben yud beishan of yom echad. This is a young man, or again, it's the same thing, young man, young woman, just different ages. Even 11 years old one day, 12 years old in one day. So a young man is 12 years old in one day. Shu samoch l'ish. He's close to the age of adulthood. Ve'eno ish. But he's not yet a man. Achi avishtei saras. Until he brings signs of physical maturation. The Gemara says, Umufla kari le'ashim shebotkin. Why is he called a mufla? Ashim shebotkin also. Im yodea lahaflos ulefaresh l'shem mi nadar ulashem mi hikdish. So we'll say, this is actually an interesting category. A mufla samoch le'ish is a situation of someone who is still a minor, right? 12 years old in one day. But when we talk to him, he knows how to articulate a neder, and he understands the mechanics of nedarim. When I say the mechanics of nedarim, I don't mean that he understands the technicalities and halachos of nedarim, but he understands that who he's making a commitment to and what the nature of that commitment is. That's called the mufla samoch leish. Therefore, the Gemara suggested hakol ma'arich and hakol comes to include even this young man, even though again he is a minor, because A, he's samoch leish, 12 years old in one day, and number two, because he's mufla, ultimately articulate and knows what he's doing, his nedarim and his erchin ultimately will stand. Pretty amazing. Ne'erachin la'asuyei mai. So that's hakol ma'arichin. So hakol ma'arichin, ultimately again, everyone can make an erech now. Who's the erech? even a katan samuch liish, right? A katan mufla samuch liish. What about ne'erachin? Excuse me. I'm sorry. What about ne'erachin asiyemai? What about when it says akol ne'erachin? It says akol ma'arichin v'ne'erachin. Everyone can make an erach vow, and everyone can be the subject of an erach vow. Who's included in everyone can be the subject of an erach vow? Lasuyemai. So the Gemara says, oh, lasuyem menuvel umukashchin. Well, say to include someone, menuvel, by the way, doesn't over here mean like the way we use it, right? Usually we use the word menuvel to speak about someone's character. Here, in this context, menuvel means someone who is physically disgusting, physically repulsive. Menuvel umukashchin, someone who's covered with boils. So we'll say, so these are people who are just considered to be repulsive. So the Gemara says, sagadai tchamina, I would have thought, therefore what? Neder be'er kichok siv. I'm going to throw up. I'll say the pasuk says like this: "Dar Rabbanei Yisrael Amar Talim Ish Kiafli Neder Be'erkicha Nefashos LaHashem." So I would have thought, "Be'erkicha Ksiv Kol She Yeshno B'Damim Yeshno Be'erchin V'Kol She Eino B'Damim Eino Be'erchin." So I'll say I'm going to throw as follows. Ultimately, again, whoever has a value is included in Erchin. Whoever does a subjective value. Whoever has a subjective value is subject to Erechin. Whoever doesn't have a subjective value is not subject to Erechin. So we'll say, so therefore what? This guy, this Menuvel Amukashchin, the Gemara is assuming, does not have an objective value. Why doesn't he have an objective value? Because no one would purchase someone like this, even as a laborer, even as a slave. So because he doesn't have a quote-unquote personal value, therefore what? Therefore, I would have thought that he's not subject to Erchin as well. Kamash Molon, that's not the case. Kamash Molon, the pasuk says, by Erchin, Nefashos Kolduhu. We'll say it says Nefashos. And what does Nefashos come to say? Ultimately, again, who is included in the halachos of Erchin? Anyone who is a Nefesh. The definition of a Nefesh is, if you're alive, right? If you're alive, right? Whether or not you have a personal value, whether or not you have damim, what we'll call damim, which means personal, subjective value, even if you don't have that, halach lamaisi, you are still subject to the laws of Erchin. Incredible. Nidarim. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Nodrin. Last suyemai. So we'll say, what is nodrin? So remember again, we're just going through word by word of the Mishnah. So we'll say, so now we understand, hakol ma'arichin, everyone can make an erach vow that comes to include what? Katan mufla samach leish. Hakol ne'erachin comes to include what? Right? The mukashchin and menuvel. Next, nodrin. What is that? Who does that come to include? My. Nodrin la'asuye mai. So I'll say, what does nodrin come to include? To which the Gemara says, nodrin actually is nidarin itzdrichle. The truth is, I actually don't need the statement of hakol nodrin. Everyone can make a neder. Instead, what I need is everyone could, I need the next statement of everyone could be the subject of nidarim. That's actually the chiddush tikkun phrase over here. And only to maintain some level of mishneic symmetry, we put in nodrin. But nodrin is not the chiddush. Nidarin, everyone could be the subject of a neder. That's the chiddush. What's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, okay, nidarin li isla suyemai. What does nidarin come to include? So the Gemara says, ila suye tumtum va'androgynous. If you want to say that it comes to include a tumtum and androgynous, that you could even make tumtum androgynous subject of a valuation neder. Okay, be'adjikatani. That we already said in the Mishnah. If you want to say that it means that you could pledge the value, the subjective value of a chayr shot of a cotton, already says that in the Mishnah. We already learned that. If you want to tell me that you could even pledge the value of a baby less than 30 days old. And we'll say, now we're going to learn that later on in the Mishnah. Now the novelty in that we'll say is what? That generally we assume that a baby less than 30 days is non-viable. Right? That's why again, even Rahman al-Islam and the loss of a child, right? The halachos of Shiva really only apply for 30 days and above. So the Gemara says, but yet we're going to see that you could pledge the value of a baby less than 30 days. So the Gemara says, is that what it's coming to teach me? So we're going to see, it's one of our next Mishnayis that we're going to see. It's stated explicitly. And if you want to say it comes to include a Gentile, that's what? That Allah Chalamaisa, I could pledge, I can make a neder to give the value of an akum. So again, we have a lot ahead of us, right? That's going to be in the Mishnah later on. We're going to learn all of these halachos explicitly. So we'll say, it doesn't make sense that the Mishnah would come to include something that we're going to learn explicitly later on. Ella, the Gemara says, Ella, Liolam la asui pachus yivein chodesh. The truth is, the Mishnah is actually, when it says nidarim, everyone could be the subject of a neder, it's actually coming to focus on over here a baby that is less than 30 days old. We're going to say that later on in the Mishnah. You're right. Tani v'hadr mefarish. But say comes to teach us what? Right now, and this is a Mishnaic style. The Mishnah is going to teach me, going to state the halacha now and expound on it later on. So therefore, the Mishnah says, Hakol Nidarin. Nidarin is mamish focusing on over here that I could pledge, I can make a neder for the value of a baby less than 30 days old. We're mentioning that now because the Mishnah feels it's an incredible chiddush. We'll expound on it later on. Well, so if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says something very interesting over here. Tani v'hadr mefarish, Rashi says, in that Rashi, if you go three lines in, Lishna achrina, lahachi nakat haimishun depligi rabbana rabbi meir b'hai pirka. Rabbi says, we're going to see, the reason why the Mishnah brings this up is this is going to be the subject of a raging dispute between the rabbana and rabbi meir of hamarich pachos mi ben chodesh. Rabbi meir omer no sin damav. Adam yodei she'in erach lepachos mi ben chodesh. V'gamar v'amar l'shem damim. V'cham necham se lo amar klum. So I'll say, interestingly enough, as we're going to see as follows, I'll give you coming attractions here for just a moment. Everyone agrees, there is no such thing as erachin for a baby less than 30 days old. There's nothing really to agree or disagree on that. It's a pasuk, right? The pasuk says there's no valuation, there's no erach valuation for a baby less than 30 days old. The interesting machlokes here between Rameir and Rabbi Huda is if somebody pledges the erech of a less than 30-day-old baby, how do we view that statement? Rabbi Meir says that what he really means to do is what? Pledge the value of the baby, not the erechin of the baby, because everyone knows there's no erechin for a baby less than 30 days old. The Rabbanans say, no, the statement is simply meaningless. So because this is going to be a raging machlokes, the Mishnah mentions it here, and we'll expound on it later on. Then I will say, now what we do over here is as follows. Now that we got into this hakol groove, so we'll say, so first of all, now you understand the Mishnah. Hakol ma'arichin, everyone can make an erech vow. Ultimately, again, the novelty is katan mufla samoch liish. Hakol ne'erachin, everyone ultimately again could go ahead and become the subject of an erech vow that comes to include who? Mukashchin and Menuvel. Hakol nodrin, no chiddush there. No chiddush there, just for symmetry. Last chiddush, hakol nidarin, everyone could be the subject of an eder. Who does that include? Tinok pachos michodesh, right? A baby less than 30 days old. So now we'll say, now we're bekiim in the Mishnah. Beautiful, at least in the first line of the Mishnah. Not bad, right? You should be a bekim in the first line of the Mishnah. Then we'll say, but now that we got into this hakol drushes, we're going to do a lot more exciting hakol drushes. Hakol drushes from all over Shas. So put your seatbelt on, this is going to get exciting. Says the Gemara, hakol somchin asuyemai. So in the Mishnah says elsewhere, it's quoting over here from Chulin, Benachos, everyone does smicha. Everyone does smicha. So I will say, who is that coming to? Lasuyemai, lasuye yoresh. Is coming to include a child to inherit. So we'll say now this case over here. If you look at Rashi, Yoresh Adam Shehifrish Aviv Karban V'lo Hispik Lakrivo Ad Shemei. So we'll say the case over here is. So let's say again, Yaakov has a karban. He set it aside. Yaakov dies. He dies before having had the opportunity to offer up the karban. And so what happens when his son inherits his estate? We'll call his son Reuven. When Reuven inherits the estate, in his father's estate is also what is a karban. So obviously he's going to offer it up. The shaila is, does he do smicha on it or not? So the Gemara says, Hakol sumchin, when the Mishnah says everyone does smicha, it comes to include even a yoresh, udelok Rabbi Yehuda, and not like Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to explain Rabbi Yehuda Shita in just a little bit. Similarly, hakol mamirin, we'll say everyone could affect temura. La suye mai, what does that come to include? La suye yoresh, udelok Rabbi Yehuda. And we'll say that comes to include a yoresh, that comes to include ultimately again an inheritor that he was the same case over here where again Yaakov separates out a karban. Yaakov doesn't offer it; he dies. Reuven inherits the karban. So the shaila is: does Reuven have the ability to affect tmura with this inherited animal? So the Gemara says the Gemara suggests hakol mamir. Everyone could do tmura to, and this excludes the position to include a yoresh, not like Rabbi Huda. Both say, so what's Rabbi Yehuda's shita? The Sanya. Here we go. Yoresh Somech Yoresh Memer. Both say the Brisa says, quoting the Tanakama, that an inheritor has an obligation to do smicha on the carbon he inherited from his father and has the ability to affect tamura on the carbon he inherited from his father. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Yoresh Eno Somech Yoresh Eno Memer. Rabbi Yehuda says a Yoresh does not do smicha. He offered, again, to be clear, the Yoresh has an obligation to offer up the carbon he inherited from his father, but he doesn't do smicha. Similarly, a Yoresh, if he tries to do tamura, if he takes the animal that he inherited from his father, and he swaps it out for another animal, ultimately what? It does not affect tamura. My time, Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's logic? Here we go. Carbono, below carbon aviv. So we'll say, because the pasuk says, by smicha, pasuk says, v'samach yado arosh karbano. You will place your hands, you'll do smicha, on the head of your carbon. Your carbon. So what do you see? What does Rabbi Yehuda Darshan over here? Carbono, below carbon aviv. Tells me that the din of smicha is only on my carbon, not a carbon that really belongs to my father. The Yalif, listen to this, the Yalif Tchilas Hektish, Misof Hektish. And we learn out the beginning of Hektish from the end of Hektish. Now both say, Smicha is the end of Hektish, right? Because Smicha is the last thing you do before you slaughter the animal. Tamura, quote unquote, is the beginning of Hektish. Because what's Tamura? Tamura means you're swapping out animal B for animal A. And what's Talacha? What's Talacha? Both become Kaddish. So Tamura is called the beginning of Hekdish. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Pasuk tells me Karbano, by Smicha. I only have an obligation of Smicha on my Karban, not on my father's Karban. And I learn out the beginning of Hekdish from the end of Hekdish. Just like the end of Hekdish, Smicha, is only my Karban, not my father's Karban. So too, Tamura is only my Karban, not my father's Karban. Masof Hekdish, Yorish Eno Somech, Avtchilas Hekdish, Yorish Eno Memer. Just like in the beginning of Hekdish, the Yorish does not do smicha, karbano, so to the beginning of Hekdish, the Yorish cannot affect Tmura with a karban he inherits. V'Rabbanon, what do the Rabbanon do with this? Hamer Yomir. Suppose the Rabbanon dash in the Pasik. By Tmura. Lo Yachli Fenu v'lo Yamir Oso Tov V'ra B'tov V'im Hamer Yamir Behema Behema V'ayhus Mesor. So the Torah uses the double lashon of Hamer Yamir. So, right? Hamer Yamir. So we'll say, so what's the double lashon teach me? Hamer Yamir L'Rabos Esayoresh. The double lashon teaches me that even a Yoresh has the ability to affect Tmura. Now we'll say, watch this. Their drasha goes in the opposite direction. V'alfinon Sof Hektish Metchilas Hektish. And we learn out the end of Hektish, i.e. Smicha, from the beginning of Hektish, i.e. Tamura. Matchilas Hektish Yoresh Memer, just like at the beginning of the Hektish process, a Yoresh has the ability to what? To affect Tamura. Av, Sof Hektish, Yoresh Somech. So to the end of Hektish, a Yoresh also does Smicha. So we'll say fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Huden the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan ultimately saying that Allah says Yoresh does Smicha and Tamura. They learn it out from the Hamer Yamir of Tamura and learn out again the end of Hektish Smicha from the beginning of Hektish Tamura. Just like a Yoresh is able to affect Tamura, so too he does Smicha. Rabbi Huda, Karbano by Smicha. Just like you only do Smicha on your own carbon, you can only affect Tamura on your own carbon. Therefore, a Yoresh does neither Smicha nor could he affect Tamura. Incredible. So we'll say, now we're going to ask what each one does with the other one's drasha. V'Rabbanan, Hai Karbano, my Abdi. Rabbi said, what did the Rabbanan do with the Karbano of Rabbi Yehuda? Mibarile Karbano, v'lo carbon Oved Kochavim. Oh! Rabbi said, teaches you something else. That the din of Smicha only applies to what? Right, a Jew's carbon and not to a Gentile's carbon. So I'll say, we'll discuss this in greater depth. Right, and Akum has the ability to bring a carbon, right? But there's no smicha done on that carbon. A Jew doesn't do smicha on the carbon of an Akum. Here, if you So the Ben Gersh writes there. He says the carbon of Yikochavim ain't carbon of Yikochavim ton smicha. Ultimately, again, the carbon of an Akum does not require any kind of smicha. So that's the use carbon O for. Carbon O, below carbon chavero. So we'll say again, let's say, Ruvain asks me, he says, if you're running to Yerushalayim anytime soon, can you take my carbon for me? I say, sure, no problem. So I take his carbon, I offer it up on his behalf, right? I don't do smicha on my friend's carbon. Carbon O, L'rabos kol ba'ali chobrin l'smicha. Furthermore, again, Rabbi, what does Karban teach me? That if you have a group of people bringing a carbon together, look at Rashi, kol ba'ali chobrin, Rashi says, chamisha sheviu carbon echad b'shutfus. If you have five people who brought a carbon together in a partnership, kulon tzvichin lismoch alav ve'in echad somechad. This is actually quite fascinating. All five owners must do smicha. And you can't have it be that one owner does smicha on behalf of everyone. So we'll say, so this, according to the Rabbanon, this is a chock-full drasha. From Karbano, what do I learn? Number one, only a Jew's karban, not an Akum's karban. Number two, you don't do smicha on your friend's karban. And number three, that if people, partners, are bringing a karban, each and every one of them has to do smicha. Rabbi Huda, the rabbis call Bali Chobrin the smicha lesley. So what's Rabbi Huda? Doesn't agree with the central premise that partners have to all do smicha. In other words, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't agree with this idea. He holds that when it comes to partners, only one of the partners needs to do smicha on behalf of everyone else. Or the other possibility is, v'inami, if we look at last Rashi, lesle, v'sfiro le'echad somich l'kulan. So I'll say, ultimately, again, he holds, Rabbi Yehuda holds that in a case of a partnership, one partner does smicha on behalf of all the other partners. V'lohavi kisomich al karban chaveiro hovo shaykhba. And this is not considered to be like doing smicha on your friend's karban. Why? Since you have a shaykh, so you have a chelik in that karban. V'inami, the other possibility is, isle. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does hold that even in a case of partners, all the partners have to do smicha. Aye, but then where does this drasha come from? Va'ovid kochavim v'chaveiro mechat kra nafi. I will say, ovid kochavim, the fact that I don't do smicha on the carbon of an ovid kochavim, and the fact that I don't do smicha on my friend's carbon, will come from the same pasuk, and therefore, ayayser le trei. That leaves me with two open psukim. Chad, carbono v'lo carbonoviv. One teaches me carbono, right? Only my carbon has smicha, not the carbon of my father. V'idach l'rabos kol ba'ali chobrin l'smicha. And the other open pasuk will what? Come to teach me that halacha l'maisa, when it comes to partners, all the partners must do smicha together. V'Rabbi Yehuda, hi hamer yomer ma'av. Yerbo said, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with the hamer yomer? Remember again, the Rabbanon use hamer yomer to teach me what? To teach me what? That a yoresh has the ability to affect tamura, the double lashon. What does Rabbi Yehuda do with Hamer Yomer? Mibayle the Rabbos es Ha'isha. He will say he uses it to ultimately teach me that what? To teach me that halacha lemaisa, a woman has the ability to affect Tamura as well. Now, why do I need such a drasha? This is actually quite fascinating. The Sanya, the Fisha Kala Inyan Enum Adabra Elabalashon Zachar, it will say the entire section of Tamura, so the Psukim are phrased in the masculine, all phrased Balashon Zachar. So Rabbi say, how do we know that although it is all phrased in the masculine, halacha lemaisa, the laws of tamura apply to a woman as well? Tamid lomar v'im hamer yamir, because we'll say the double lashon of hamer yamir teaches me that what, that ultimately again the laws of tamura apply to both men and women. V'rabbanan, where did the Rabbanan learn it out from? From the word v'im. Rabbi says, so again, we've seen this before. V'im, ultimately, again, is a ribui. Is a ribui. And therefore, again, the pasuk says, v'lo yachifin v'lo yamir oso tov ra'u rabba tov. V'im. V'im hamer yamir. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Rabbi Huda is learning out women from hamer yamir. The Rabbanan learning it out from v'im. V'im. Okay. So the Gemara says, v'rabbanan, Rabbi Huda, V'im lo darish. And ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the drasha of v'im. Not everyone darshins a v'im. So we'll say, it's interestingly enough, just working backwards, everyone will agree that halacha l'maisa, a woman, will be able to affect tamura. They are just disagreeing as to what the source of that halacha is. We will say, but again, for our purposes over here, we end off with this dramatic machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, really focused on the lashon of hakol somchin. When we say hakol somchin, who is it coming to include? So the Gemara's suggestion was hakol somchin comes to include a yoresh, comes to include even someone who inherits a carbon from his deceased father. Such a person not only has to offer up the carbon, but halacha lemaisa does smicha as well. Once, just so you follow the progression, once the Gemara opens that up, that opened up this whole discussion, this mechelgis Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Good. Later. Another hakol. We'll say these are great. Hakol chayavin besukah. So great. right? Anything that's like arachayim feels like so, so wonderful. And a sea of kachim, baruch Hashem, beautiful to be in kachim. But hakol chayav in besukkah, everyone is obligated to sit in sukkah. La suye mai, the Rebbe say, who does that come to include? La suye katan she'eno tzarech li'imo. This comes to include a minor who does not require his mother's assistance. Even a child, so again, technically speaking, any child below the age of bar mitzvah would not have an obligation in sukkah. Sahakol chayav b'sukkah means if the child has reached some basic level of maturation where he doesn't need his mother, he'll be chayav in sukkah. This is not because we're under the Mishnah, katan she'eno tzarech li'imo chayav b'sukkah. A child who doesn't need his mother will be chayiv in sukkah. We'll say, what's the definition of a child who doesn't need his mother? Look at Rashi. Shenei Tzarech L'Imo is very interesting. The first one is Secha Sukkah. It's a Gemara quotes, Shenei Mishnaso Veno Kari Ima. So we'll say, what's the age? It's the age in which a child wakes up and doesn't call for his mother. That's Kadan Sheino Tzarech L'Imo. Child wakes up independently, doesn't call for his mother. Halocha L'Meisa. Such a child will be chayiv in sukkah. Next, hakol chayiv in belulav. Everyone is obligated in lulav. La suyei mai. I will say, who does this come to include? Now, by the way, I just want to point out, we paskin that katan shein atzarech limo is chayiv in sukkah, midrabanan, of course, right? Midrabanan. You can't be chayiv in anything with the araisa before you reach the age of godless, before you reach the age of majority. Okay, but midrabanan, hakol chayiv in belulav. Everyone is obligated to shake lulav. La suyei mai. I will say, who does this come to include? La suye katan hayodea lina'anea. I will say, this comes to include a katan who knows how to properly shake the lulav. So once a child knows how to shake the lulav, I will say, what does that mean? I don't mean like shake the lulav like, like a sword. You know, that's not, I mean shake. It's a different discussion. It's a good time for a public service announcement. Especially if you buy your lulav and throw him through the shul. Do not come in and shake it like nobody's business, right? And mamish, like, okay, different time. As well, say if a child knows how to properly discharge the mitzvah of dalid minim, child knows how to shake the lulav. So this nan, so child is chayiv in lulav. This nan, katanei adel inaaneh, chayiv v'lulav. So I'll say katan who knows how to shake the lulav. Ultimately, I'm going to be chayiv in lulav. Good, that's what hakol comes to include. Again, midrabanan, hakol chayiv in betzitzis. Everyone is obligated to wear tzitzis. La suye mai. So we'll say, who does this come to include? La suye katan hayodea lehis atef. This comes to include a child who knows how to wrap himself in a talis. Right? A child who knows how to wear tzitzis. So what it also means is a child who knows how to maintain a clean body. Right? Knows how to maintain the cleanliness of the tzitzis. Ultimately, again, is chayiv. Disanya, katan hayodea lehis atef. Chayiv betzitzis. A katan who knows how to literally the satif means to wrap himself is chayiv in tzitzis. Hakol chayiv in betulin. Everyone is obligated in tefillin. Both is actually very interesting halacha. La suye mai. Again, who does hakol come to include? La suye katan hayodea lishmar tefillin. Both says comes to include a katan who knows how to go ahead and properly guard tefillin. Disanya katan hayodea lishmar tefillin. A katan who knows how to properly watch tefillin. Aviv lokeach lo tefillin. A father purchasing a pair of tefillin. Rabbi says, so again, in this context, watching tefillin, again, of course, means knowing how to take care of a pair of tefillin, but also means what? Personal cleanliness, right? Knows how to take care. This is actually very interesting. We associate tefillin with bar mitzvah. The truth is, that's not really the halacha. The halacha is like this. As soon as a child is able to go ahead and knows how to be responsible to take care of a pair of tefillin, and knows how to maintain a properly clean body for the mitzvah of tefillin, there's an obligation for him to start wearing tefillin. We because ultimately, again, the Mishnah Berurah brings down, this is a challenge, right? This is a challenge even for adults who are obligated. We don't start to perform the mitzvah until we are obligated to do so. But just understanding the purest form of the halacha, tefillin is not really associated with bar mitzvah. Really, tefillin is associated from the moment that you reach an age of maturity, that you know how to take care of your body, you know how to take care of tefillin, you're obligated to do so. So, hakol chayav in b'riyah, I suppose it's actually interesting, everyone is obligated in riyah. Now, riyah, b'osei, means the obligation to be ola regel, right? The obligation to go to the Beis HaMikdash 3 times a year, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That's the mitzvah of riyah. Everyone is obligated in riyah. La suyem, I will say, so who does riyah, when we say, again, you see the common denominator here through the discussion. Anytime you see hakol, what does hakol teach you? Something's being included. something additional is being included. So let's say, so we say everybody's obligated in Riyah. What does that come to include? Lasuye mi shechetzu evechetzu ben chorin. This comes to include even someone who is half eved, half free man, is obligated ultimately again in the mitzvah of aliyah l'regel. Ulravina de'amar mi shechetzu eved v'chetzu ben chorin pater min ha'riyah. Last, but according to Ravina, who holds that halacha lemaisa, someone who has chetzi of eved v'chetzi of ben chorin, right? They will say, what about that case? What about that case? Ultimately, again, chetzi of eved, chetzi of ben chorin. Ravina says such a person is pater from riya. So, what does he use hakol for? Lasuye is actually very interesting. Chiger biyom rishon. And we'll say, according to Ravina, it comes to include a case of ourselves, someone who's crippled on the first day, but Baruch Hashem is subsequently healed on the second day. Now watch this, we'll say, if somebody is crippled on the first day, now if you're crippled, you're obviously not obligated in the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. Why? Because in order to be able to do Aliyah L'Regel, what has to happen? You have to walk. If you can't walk, you are pater. What about someone who was crippled, couldn't walk on the first day, but Baruch Hashem experienced the refuah and can work on the second day? So Ravina says, Hakol Chayavin Bereiya teaches me that even though I couldn't go on the first day, if I can't go on the second day or any subsequent day of Yantiv, I'm obligated to do so. To which the Gemara says, Hani Chalam Andamar Kulan Tashlumin Zelozeh. That's fine, I will say, if essentially what? If you hold that each of the days of Yom Tov have their own independent mitzvah. That's what the Lashon of Tashlumin Zelazeh means. Literally, they all make up one for the other. So if you couldn't do all Aliyah L'Regel on day one, you could do it on day two. You didn't do it on day two, you could do it on day three. So on and so forth throughout the Yom Tov. However, El Leman Dermer Kulan Tashlumin L'Rishon. I will say, according to the opinion, who says, no, the mitzvah Aliyah L'Regel is generated when? When? On day one. It's only the pshat that if you couldn't do it on day one for some reason, you have makeup for day one on the rest of the yomtiv. But I will say, according to that approach, if you were potter on day one, then what? Then what? You are not potter rest of yomtiv. So I will say, that's the case. If I was crippled on day one and couldn't walk on day one, then Allah chalamaisi, even if I'm Baruch Hashem healed by day two, there is no mitzvah aliyah l'regel. If that's the case, according to Ravina, what would Akol come to include? So Gemara says, Lasuye mai. Lasu is actually interesting. Suma ba'achas me'enav. So as it comes to include, ultimately, again, a person who is blind in one eye. Ravina will suggest that a person who is blind in one eye is still obligated in Aliyah L'Regel. Udelo ki haitana. But I will say that in and of itself, if a person is blind in one eye, are you subject to Aliyah L'Regel or not, is a machlokes. Disanya. Yochanan ben Dahavai or Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda. Yochanan ben Dahavai sitting in Rabbi Yehuda. This is actually quite fascinating. Suma ba'achas me'enav, pater ben ariyah. Someone who is blind in one eye is pater from the mitzvah of riyah. Pater, right? Essentially, pater from Aliyah L'Regel. Shnei Amar, listen to this. The pasuk says, Yir'eh Yeira'eh. So I'll say the actual word in the pasuk is Yeira'eh. But we translate as, we make the drasha, it could be read as Yir'eh or Yeira'eh. What's the difference? Yira means you will see. Yeira'eh means you will be seen. Kederech sheba liros, kach ba leiros. The same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to see us, kivyachol, with two eyes, kach ba leiros. He comes to be seen with two eyes as well. Ma liros b'shtei enof, of course a bit anthropomorphic here, but just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol comes to see with two eyes, right, ultimately, again, he comes to see ultimately with both eyes. Af le'ra'os b'shte'inav. So to what? Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to be seen with two eyes. In other words, the same way that Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to see us in a state of completion, he wants to be seen in a state of completion. Therefore, if someone is missing vision in one of their eyes, they are potter from this mitzvah. So we'll say, so now just so you follow the flow over here, we're trying to figure out, the Mishnah made a statement of Hakol Chayavim B'Re'iyah. Everyone's obligated in Re'iyah. We're trying to figure out what does Hakol come to include. We're now suggesting that according to Ravina, it comes to include Suma Ba'achas Me'inav. Even though somebody is blind in one eye, Ravina says, they still have an obligation of Aliyah L'Regel. We'll say, just the Gemara's pointing out, but just know, that in and of itself is subject to machlokas. Zibai Seima, here we go. The other possibility is maybe the olam la'asumi shechetzeh v'chetzeh v'chor. This is fascinating. Maybe it's coming to include, maybe akol chayav Maria is coming to include even someone who is a half Eved, half Ben Chorin. So also remember, the reason we got into this whole discussion is because, according to Ravina, Ravina said that a chatzi Eved chatzi Ben Chorin is not subject to Re'iyah. No, maybe even Ravina holds that a chatzi Eved chatzi Ben Chorin is subject to Re'iyah. I have a kasha lecha Ravina, but once you just said Ravina holds before that a chatzi Eved chatzi Ben Chorin is not subject to the obligation of Re'iyah. Here we go. Lokashia, Kama Mishnah Rishon, Kama Mishnah Achron. Two different iterations of the halacha. Here we go. This nan. First wide line, base my base. Misha chatzeh chatzeh ben chorin. Someone who is in half eved, half ben chorin. Ovides rabo yomechad ves asmo yomechad. Dear Beis Hillel. So I'll say very simple. If you're a chatzeh eved chatzeh ben chorin, what do? You work for your master one day and you work for yourself one day. You switch off days. You're chatzeh eved chatzeh ben chorin. These words, Beis Hillel. Amlo Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, fantastic. So it's very nice. This is a great arrangement for the master, but it's not a great arrangement for the chati and chati men chorin. Why? Lisa shivcha in a yachol. So I say, because the eved can't marry a shivcha. Why can't he marry a shivcha? Because he has a half, and that's a ben chorin. He can't marry a bas chorin. Why? Why? Because he's a half eved. So he batel. So what? He's not going to have a family. Valo lo nivra olam elapiv rivya. The world was only created for procreation. Or Rabbi say, this is Beis Shammai saying to Beis Hillel, you've created an impossible situation for this man. He will be unable to marry and have a family with anyone. Shene Amar lo sovar ala shevet sarah. This Baruch Hu did not create the world to be desolate. Elo mipnei tikkun ha'olam kofenes rabo va'osin oso ben chorin. Watch this. Says Beis Shammai to Beis Hillel, in the case of chatzi and chatzi ben chorin, Rabbi say, what do? We force the master to go ahead and free the side of, right, the half eved, the kosev shtar al chatzi damav. And ultimately, you know, so what we do essentially is we force the master to go ahead and free the half that's the eved. And ultimately, again, the eved himself, the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, writes a document, an IOU to the adon for the value that he represented to the master. And I will say, what happened? V'chazru Beis Hillel lahoros k'divrei Beis Shammai. And ultimately, again, Beis Hillel changed their position to Beis Shammai. Therefore, I will say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that maybe Hakol, Kol Chayav and Beria comes to include even a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin. And ultimately, what the Gemara say, even such a person will be Chayav and Re'iyah. Why? Why? Because at the end of the day, such a situation will be remedied. That situation will not remain. That Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin will what? Will ultimately become a Ben Chorin. Why? Because we force the master to emancipate the Eved Tzad of this individual. Therefore, he will become a Ben Chorin, and therefore will be subject to the halachos of Aliyah L'Regel. Take a look at Rashi. The Mishnah Rishon Rashi says, Kodim Shahoru Odu Beis Hillel B'Yishi B'Cheskas Eved Aval Acher Shechazru L'Hodos. After Beis Hillel came around and agreed to the position of Beis Shammai, that we forced the master to emancipate the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin, Horil U'Biadino L'Shachrero, since it is now within our power to emancipate him, Kishe Shuchrar Dami, Shein Rishus Rabbalov. So we'll say, watch this. Now that even Beis Hillel comes along and agrees with Beis Shammai, that in the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin situation, we force the master to emancipate the half Eved part. Ultimately, again, what's the halacha? We say that even a Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is treated like a free man, and therefore will be Chayav in Re'iyah as well. Let's stop over here. We're going to pick up with more Hakol cases in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Is a cut and high in all the rec now.